Hey, Barstool listeners, you can find every episode of this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
What's up, you mutts? It's another Miller Lite popping on another edition of the Kevin Clancy Show here. It's my week off, but two things happened here. One, we forgot to tell sales not to sell this week, so I got to do an episode. And two, I'm addicted to the game, and I can't stop. I can't stop talking for a week. I can't keep this big fucking mouth shut of mine. So we're back here with another episode brought to you by Miller Lite. Kick your feet up. I hope you enjoyed the fourth. I hope you weren't a fucking simpleton who just likes to look at things go explode in the sky. Ooh, big bright lights in the sky. Look at fireworks. The same fucking thing for the 5 millionth time in a row. How about I just sit at home, watch some TV, enjoy the actual entertainment that the world has provided to us now in the form of television and technology and streaming services and the internet and all things that are actually entertaining while enjoying a nice cold Miller Lite, only 96 calories, 3.2 carbs for 12 ounces. It's my presenting sponsor through the rest of the year. So this is my entertainment for the rest of you fucking clowns who still need to look at explosions in the sky. You know, I figured I might as well take my anti-summer kick up a notch and extend it all the way to fireworks as well. This is something that's been going on for a long time. If you've been following me, you know how I feel about fireworks and parades. Fireworks and parades are the two stupidest things that the human race continues to engage in, because they were, especially parades. Parades were invented, I don't know, around the time Jesus was still kicking, to watch people walk by. To watch, you know, floats and like people twirl batons and play drums and shit. Imagine that. Imagine that was the only form of entertainment. That's what people, you know, it was like we either die in our log cabins and in our cave, or we can go outside and watch these people walk down the block. We might as well do that, because otherwise there's nothing fucking left to do. Yet and still people do it in the year of our Lord 2021. It's like this is a antiquated, obsolete form of entertainment. And we're still doing it every fucking Christmas and every, say, Thanksgiving and every Rose Bowl. It's crazy. Watch people walk. You know, Steve Jobs didn't die for this, okay? We didn't invent the greatest things in the world, the greatest pieces of technology and entertainment creators and providers that humanity has ever seen for you to still want to watch fucking parades. And I extend that to fireworks as well. You know what fireworks do? They torture veterans of war. They torture dogs. That's what they do. Also, you can look up in the sky and see the same goddamn explosions you've seen the last 50 years in a row. They're always the same. Although they are starting to do that shit with drones now. I saw a drone like paint a picture of a penis in the sky. That was kind of cool. We, you know, you do some more of that and then we can talk. But, you know, the rest of these people who are like, fireworks are awesome. Fireworks are cool in two scenarios. Number one, if you're a child, because when you're a child, you're a simpleton. And big boom, boom in the sky, ooh, flashy lights is entertaining for you still. Or two, if it's the right moment, you know, you got a girl on your arm or your crush is with you and you're under the fucking night sky and all of a sudden there's the finale and you go in for the kiss and you have your romantic comedy moment. Otherwise, you know, people are like, what are you gonna take the kids to see fireworks? I'm like, my kid's bedtime is 7 o'clock. Okay. I'm not gonna lug them out at like 9:30 to watch shit explode and then fuck up all their bedtime and our schedule and all that. No, we're not doing that. We'll do that when they're older. Plus, my kids have some sort of phobia with sound. Not even kidding you. My kids have some sort of phobia when it comes to loud bangs. Like every now and then, perhaps I've set off the fire alarm at their apartment. And it's a fucking calamity, man. They freak out like it's the end of the goddamn world. So, yeah, there might be some issues with some sound in my family. No big fucking deal. Anyway, fireworks. You know, if you're cool with the fact that you're torturing puppies and, you know, giving PTSD to the veterans, okay, fine. You go have yourself a wonderful 4th of July. Not me, though. You're not going to catch me contributing to that nonsense. I'll be inside with a nice cold Miller Lite with regular ass entertainment in the year 2021. And that's all I got to say about that. Last week, I have to apologize to anyone who listened last week. Last week was the single worst podcast I have ever put out in the history of my career. It's interesting when you can pinpoint a low point. Like, I don't know, how many podcasts have I done? Thousands at this point. And last week, leading into the holiday, I could not have delivered a more garbage podcast than that. It like genuinely weighed on me. Like, I put it out, I barely promoted it. I hope nobody listened to that. If you did listen to that and you were thinking to yourself, holy shit, this is absolute garbage, just know that I agree with you. It was like a 35-minute podcast. I don't even know what I was talking about. I think we were doing Summer Sucks, and then I babbled on about Lord knows what else. Very rare that I've had a podcast that I genuinely like don't think is good. I've had podcasts that are funnier than others, but I've almost always probably can count on one hand the amount of times that I was like, oh my God, that was fucking trash. Usually I'm pretty satisfied with everything we've ever put out. And that was like heading into a break, had talked about everything already on the other podcast, didn't have shit else going on. I was just like, I don't know, I got to do something here. And it was basura. So apologies on that to the sponsors and to you guys. And like, I mean, the amount of like anxiety you have, if you're not into any, if you're not in this business at all, or don't put out anything of like your own work in that way for work or a hobby, you can't really understand it. But putting out a podcast or a video or even a blog's not so much because you blog so much, just like keep it moving. That blog sucked, but I'm going to put up like 10 more today. But anytime you put out something that you know is like subpar, oh, it's the worst. Like when you're at work in a Cube Monkey job, you just churn out garbage work. It's like, who cares? Give a fuck about this spreadsheet, this report, you know, this folder, whatever. But when it's something that like, you know, represents you and your personality and it's absolute garbage, it's a tough one to swallow. So with that being said, today, it's funny how it works. Just like today, there's like 50 topics I want to talk about. So we're going to rattle through them and keep it moving here. And once again, it's all brought to you by Miller Lite. So shout out to them. If you were drinking anything other than Miller Lite over the holiday, get your brain checked and start drinking Miller Lite for the rest of the summer. While we're on the topic of the 4th of July and the let me just give you a quick rundown. We got to talk about Nick Castellanos. We got to talk about Tyler Hero. We got to talk about Rachel Nichols. We got to talk about Trevor Bauer. We're going to talk about the U and college sports. I mean, there's a lot to get through right now. But while still on the 4th of July and some fireworks and America, there was a fucking scene, man, on TikTok. Or Insta, I don't know, one of the social media platforms in Texas, in a Walmart in Texas, where everybody in the store just broke out into the national anthem. One woman started singing, and everybody else stopped in their tracks, shopping carts in hand, front of the aisle, front of the cashiers, whole fucking store stopped. And everybody engaged in the Star Spangled Banner. And it was the most bizarre shit I've ever fucking seen. And it's, you know, viral on Twitter because it's this patriotic moment and everyone's all like, America, fuck yeah. I could not have been more weirded out by that fucking video. I would have given anything to have been in that Walmart and just gone about my regular ass business. Like, it's one thing you're at a ballpark and they do the national anthem. That's, you know, it's, you're expected to stand, remove your hat, sing, put your hand over your heart, whatever you like to do. Stop what you're doing. You know, you're getting a hot dog, you stop what you're doing. You're in the bathroom, you stop what you're doing. Everybody recognizes the anthem because that's how we start our games here. When I'm shopping in the middle of fucking Walmart, no. We're not here to do your own rendition. We're not here to do fucking Star Spangled Barry. We're not here to do Star Spangled Banner karaoke. Okay. It was some of the more bizarre, like patriotic shit I've ever seen. A bunch of fucking Texas fatso Americans just singing the anthem out of fucking nowhere while you're shopping. Like, you can call me, oh, I'm a commie or whatever. Oh, I don't like the anthem. No. I like normal fucking behavior. And this was some of the strangest shit ever. I would love to have just been at the self-checkout line. Beep, 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 beep. Just stealing a couple things. How many bags did you use? Zero, even though I'm using 1,000. Oh, you know, the little scanner didn't work. Well, that's not my fault. That's your fucking fault. Put that in the cart, even though I'm not paying for it. I always steal like one thing when I'm doing self-checkout. Just to stick it to the man, to big grocery out there trying to jack up the prices and shit. So I would just beep, beep. I'd be going about my business. I need a price check. Hey, is this on sale? Get out of here. Stopping everything because one chick just decided to start singing the anthem in the middle of the fucking grocery store. What the hell is that about? It better have been some sort of like, I'm trying to go viral moment. Cause if that's just some regular ass old woman who's just like, I'm going to sing the anthem and everyone's going to follow along. I mean, that's some culty behavior. Let's be honest. You know, we use these terms like patriotism or religion or whatever. All these things are just cults. And if you're just singing in the middle of a fucking Walmart out of nowhere, just because the guy next to you started singing, that's some cult shit right there. I know it's Texas. I know if I was down there, you know, I say I wish I was in there so I could go about my business. I'm sure I would get shot. But man, that was some wacky shit. Everybody just singing off key in the middle of Walmart. No fucking thank you, man. I'm over all that shit. So let's get into the big news topics here. Let's start. Now, you know what? Let's ease into it, okay? Nick Castellanos. I don't know. I can never say that right. The double L fucks me up. But the infamous Tom Brenneman apology home run is one of the greatest. Well, I got to use my words lightly here because it's obviously not a funny issue at hand when he was apologizing for a racial slur, but God damn it, was that moment with the home run interrupting his on-air apology one of the funniest viral moments of sports broadcasting history. It was real life Brockmire, Tom Brenneman with there's a deep drive to left center field, Nick Castellanos, it will be a home run. Well, he did it again. Another home run, this time in the middle of the Royals broadcast where they were eulogizing a World War II veteran. Same exact shit. Same exact spot, left center field, no doubt about it. And the Royals broadcaster, at least this time, acknowledged it and said, you know, there's never a good time to do these things, but, you know, we're sorry. That was as, you know, if it wasn't for Tom Brenneman, that would have been, you know, the funniest interruption ever. However, I mean, it's still a distant second to Brenneman, but I mean, again, The chances of the Brenneman thing happening, I said it was the most improbable thing in the history of sports. And now I might have to revise it because we're only, you know, a few months, a year removed. And we're here we are yet again. But as improbable as Nick Castellanos hitting two home runs during heartfelt moments on the broadcast, as improbable as that is, I see you and raise the Aaron Ramsey curse. It's a soccer thing, Jogo Bonito. So we haven't heard much about it. But I am over here. I'm floored that two times Nick has hit a home run during a heartfelt moment on the broadcast, an apology or a eulogy. How about Aaron Ramsey, who has 64 career goals? 23 of them were followed by the death of a celebrity. 23 out of 64 goals, 23 times this dude finds the net and then somebody of note drops dead. Like if you are a singer, entertainer, actor, influencer, if you have any shred of fame, you should be rooting wholeheartedly against Aaron Ramsey every time he takes the pitch. Because if he puts one in the back of the net, you might be next. 23 goals. Let's run through the list. And I recognize here that this is overseas. So the tag of celebrity or famous person, these are either people that we don't know or really don't care about. But 2009, Ted Kennedy died. I'll give you the notable ones because, you know, Andres Monte is a basketball commenter in Spanish football. I don't know who that is. But Ted Kennedy in 2009, Osama bin Laden in 2011, Steve Jobs also in 2011, Gaddafi. I mean, I don't know exactly if we should call it a curse, if he scores and he kills Osama bin Laden and Gaddafi. I think we should maybe be like, hey, Aaron Ramsey, thanks for using your fucking your curse for good. But Ted Kennedy, Osama bin Laden, Steve Jobs, Gaddafi, Whitney Houston, after he scored a goal against Sunderland in 2012, Robin Williams in 2014, David Bowie in 2016, Alan Rickman, shout out to that guy from Harry Potter. He was in 2016 against Liverpool. Nancy Reagan, Roger Moore. The list goes on and on. Burt Reynolds in 2018. Every time he scores, someone's like, oh, there you go. There's another fucking death. Most recently, 2021, Zambia's first president. He kicked the bucket. So watch out. There's a slew of other names here that are overseas people or other people involved in the soccer world or actors that aren't, you know, huge over here. But if Aaron Ramsey scores, find the nearest celebrity death pool because someone's kicking the bucket, bro. And the fact they actually like asked him about it too, which is crazy to be like, hey, Aaron, over here. Yeah, like, you know, the London Times. Just wanted to ask you, you know, you scored a goal today. Are you worried that any celebrities might drop dead? And do you feel any culpability for their death? I mean, now, in 2015, he said it's ridiculous. He goes, it's the most ridiculous rumor I've ever heard. It's like, it's not really a rumor, dude. It is a fact. It's ridiculous that people are blaming you for it, but it's not a rumor. He goes, yeah, there's just been loads of occasions where I've scored and somebody's died. He did say I did take out some baddies. So that is true. Shout out to Aaron Ramsey. He's, you know, an international hero for killing Gaddafi and Osama bin Laden. But really, I bet you could play this game with almost anybody. You know, because again, some of these names, Andres Monte, Ray Williams, Ken Norton, Paul Walker. Oh, Paul Walker was a big one. I didn't realize. Yeah, Paul Walker counts. Reuben Carter. These are some names. Maybe I just don't know. Nicky Hayden, Greg Allman, Bruce Forsyth. So, you know, depending on what your standard for celebrity is, you pick an event that happens often enough, but not so often. Like, you know, you could play a game every time Ichiro got a hit, you know, somebody died. It's like, yeah, well, Ichiro got hits every fucking day of the week. There's always going to be somebody dead after Ichiro got a hit. But, you know, you pick something like, like 30-point games, 40-point games from MJ or some shit like that. Something that happened pretty frequently, but it's still rare enough. I bet you could play this death game with a lot of different things in sports. I want someone should force these. Someone at this point, every time Otani hits a home run, somebody's dead. I guarantee you that. Somebody of note is dying somewhere or some shit's happening. That guy's hitting balls out fucking left and goddamn right. You know, it's if you think that Nick Castellanos has a knack for, doing big things in awkward moments, Aaron Ramsey, he's the king of that shit. If your grandma's famous, you don't want Aaron Ramsey scoring a goal because guess what? Nana's dead and you're fucking burying her just like he buried the ball in that net. So maybe it's not uncommon that baseball players hit home runs in the middle of baseball broadcasts trying to talk about serious subjects. But the fact that it happened again and the fact that it was the same player, do you notice that I keep just saying player and guy and using different terms so I don't have to say the last name that I stumble over every time? The chances of that are a zillion to one, a trillion, a quadrillion to one. It's incomprehensible that in the middle, you know, and you know that family is sitting there like, oh my God, such sweet words for grandpa. Oh, motherfucker. And it was the opposing player this time. I mean, just absolutely shit luck and shit timing. Handled much better. This time there wasn't a career going down the tube. By the way, my boy Josh Potter had Tom Brenneman on his podcast. So if you're interested in that, go listen to the Josh Potter show. Brenneman was cool about it. Josh Potter, he's from like the Your Mom's House camp. He's out on his own now. He loved that moment, that viral moment. He uses it on his podcast all the time, but he also is a big sports fan and a big sports buff. So he knows about the Brennemans and had him on the show to talk about it. And Brenneman was like as honest and open as you can get about the moment, being like, you know, I know it's like funny on social media and people have a good time with it, but you have to realize that like, that was a serious moment because of what I said. And also because like my career, I was watching my career swirl down the toilet, and I had to do this apology and call the home run. He said his son of all people was really upset about the way that it's handled on social media. I mean, at the same time, listen, Tom, you gotta understand this, you know, them's the breaks. You have a ridiculous home run call in the middle of your apology for a sexual slur. It's going to become a meme. It's going to become a viral moment. But listening to him speak like openly and candidly about that was cool. It's a good interview if you're into sports broadcasting and want to hear about that moment. So you can go listen to the Josh Potter show. But, you know, it's one of those situations where like Brenneman was, you know, obviously what he says not great. And you don't know, you know, I don't think anybody knows what he's like actually in real life personally. So who knows if that was, you know, an indication of something more of who he is as a person. But in the sense I got in this interview was that he was just like, you know, I lost everything because of it, and now I'm working to fix it. He's working with different groups and charities that help with like kids coming out of the closet and stuff like that. So, you know, you think that he's doing like the best he can with it. And what that, it segues nicely into the Rachel Nichols situation. The Rachel Nichols situation, getting more and more serious by the moment. Right before I started recording this podcast, it was announced that she was not going to be working the NBA finals, which is a pretty, pretty serious move by ESPN, all things considered. And when the story first broke, I was like, you know, not great. Rachel Nichols is not going to enjoy her 4th of July. She's got some explaining to do, and she's got to like, you know, talk her way through this and, you know, own up to it, whatever. But I didn't think it was going to be that. I didn't think it was going to be too much fallout. And then I started thinking about the Chris Harrison situation with The Bachelor, which I had a very similar feeling. I was like, you know, this isn't that bad. It's not a great look. He didn't handle himself right. But next thing you know, like he loses one job and then he loses another and he's removed from this franchise and that, you know, show. And then, you know, bam, gone. Now $50 million settlement for him. So nobody's crying for Chris Harrison, but this does have a similar feeling to me where I was like, I don't think this is the end of the world. Oh, okay. ESPN's making a move. And then, you know, who knows where it goes from here? Cause I think a lot of times in show business too, it's like, if there's an opportunity to maybe get new blood in there, or Rachel Nichols is getting expensive, or Chris Harrison was getting too, you know, power hungry. I don't know. You know, I'm just making things up here, but stuff that can go on behind the scenes in show business where executives and networks are like, bam, now's our chance. Like now there's like the doors open a little bit. Let's fucking throw this thing open, get this person out of there, shed this salary, get in some new blood, whatever it may mean. So ironically, or no, I don't know if ironically is the right word, but you know, the very thing that Rachel Nichols was worrying about, losing her gig to Maria Taylor, you know, it's happening. You know, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy here because of these comments. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, let me explain. So there was a leaked video of Rachel Nichols in her hotel room, I believe. Is it a hotel room? Let me see. Where she was being recorded and didn't realize it. It was an unintentionally recorded conversation on a camera that feeds directly to the company's control room. So I don't think it was in a hotel room. I don't know if I had Aaron Andrews on the brain or whatever, but it was something where, you know, she was not on camera, didn't realize she was being recorded and mic'd up and she said, and it was all about Maria Taylor, who is the other, you know, Rachel Nichols type role, hosting shows and doing reporting for basketball. And Rachel Nichols is white, Maria Taylor's black. So Rachel Nichols says, in regards to Maria Taylor getting to work the finals, she said, guess what that would clear the way for? That would clear the way for Maria to do the hosting full time. I wish Maria Taylor all the success in the world. She covers football. She covers basketball. If you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your crappy longtime record on diversity, which, by the way, I personally know from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just find it somewhere else. You're not going to find it from me or taking my thing away. So what's interesting, I've been recently when something like this breaks, a story of this magnitude, Trevor Bowers as well, I ask the same thing. I asked Coley, I said, what is your impression of this? What does your social media look like? Because my social media and his social media tend to have entirely different reactions, because I got a bunch of angry white guys in my mentions and in my timeline, and Coley has an entirely different following. And it's funny because we're on the same apps, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram, whatever, but we always seem to have different reactions to these things, where I'm like, oh my God, you know, we'll talk about Trevor Bauer in a minute, but a lot of people in my social media experience are defending him. Whereas Coley's like, oh, I'm seeing nothing but negativity. He's getting crushed. So I asked him, what is your viewpoint of this Rachel Nichols thing? And he said, a lot of people calling her a clown, saying how she's fake, saying that this is what, you know, white people in show business are doing. They're publicly saying one thing while privately saying another. And then in my experience, I just got a blanket of people being like, she didn't say anything wrong. I don't understand what the issue is. She said nothing wrong. She's not racist. This is bullshit. So it's interesting, just on multiple levels, because there are these different reactions to stories like this, but also the way it's just an important lesson with social media that, like, you either intentionally or unintentionally are getting usually one viewpoint. You know, I mean, I wish that I had more, I had a different type of followership that wasn't all the same people being like, Trevor Bauer's innocent and Rachel Nichols did nothing wrong. But those are the fucking people tweeting at me. I guess you reap what you sow a little bit, so I got to look in the mirror. But, you know, it's nothing I intentionally did to have that social media experience, but that's what's coming out. Whereas Coley is, seeing something entirely different. And I think the answer is somewhere in the middle on both of those experiences. Like, Rachel Nichols is, I don't think, a racist. I don't know her personally, so I can't speak with any authority, but I don't get the vibe that she is a hateful person. But I think I don't think that's what most people are saying. I don't think the reaction is like, Rachel Nichols is a racist, fire her. I think they're saying comments like these are what we all suspect to be the truth, that people say they're an ally. I ranted about that last week in my shitty podcast. The term ally is overused in every which way, in a positive way, in a negative way, in a real way, in a fake way. The ally term is just crazy. But the people who purport themselves to be allies and say the right thing when the cameras are on and when you are in front of when you know you're being recorded and you know people are watching, and then behind closed doors, when you don't realize that anybody can hear it, it's an entirely different story. So, you know, frontward facing, it's like, oh, you know, everybody deserves a chance and we need to be more diverse and we need everybody to get their foot in the door. And then behind closed doors, it's like, that's not my job. So, you know, it's like, yeah, I support the cause up until this line when it affects me. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I'm not saying it's not right. But I also think it's just human nature. I think anybody who says that, you know, if their job was the one that got taken away for a matter of diversity, which by the way, is another factor here. Rachel Nichols basically implying, never saying it outright, but implying that if Maria Taylor got to host the finals, that it would be because of race issues and diversity issues and not because of talent. And I think that, you know, is inherently a little, if that's your first reaction, not Maria Taylor's getting the nod because she's better than me, it's because it's a diversity issue. Well, I mean, obviously that shows where your brain kind of went first. But that being said, while not great, I think you are lying. If your job is the one on the line, you're going to have some feelings about it. You're going to feel some way about it when it's like everybody with a good heart wants it to be, as fair as possible. But as long as it doesn't cost me my money and my gig, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think it would be amazing if we lived in a world where everybody was so selfless and willing to sacrifice that they would give up some of their airtime or their job altogether or some of their money or whatever it is, whatever industry you're in, for the sake of diversity and equal opportunity. But I don't think that's how most people handle things privately. And that's the issue here, is that you know, I think the fact that it was a secret recording kind of cuts both ways. On the one hand, I think it's tough to judge her because she is just kind of speaking, you know, off the cuff. And she's in a moment of maybe anger and frustration, or she's nervous, she's scared, she's disappointed. And so you're just, you know, you feel like you're ranting to an agent. She was talking to Rich Paul and some dude, Mendelsohn, who I think he's a manager or an agent or some shit like that. And so she's just kind of talking off the cuff, and it's not something that she intended for public consumption. That goes both ways. Does that mean can you judge her by that? Or is it not fair to judge her by that? Because on the one hand, you could say, this is what people really think. This is what goes on behind closed doors, is who people really are. Yes. But also, you know, like I said, when you're at home and you're fucking ranting, or you're mad, or you're tired and you're just like babbling, it's like, well, listen, that does not encompass all that I believe on the matter. I don't know which way I lean, to be honest. I mean, I really am kind of somewhere in the middle. I would say that you can definitely gather from that comment that what Rachel Nichols is most concerned about is her own money, her own gig, her own standing. And I think that we're all kind of like that deep down. But yeah, I feel like, you know, if she were to really be able to express herself fully, and knowing that everyone is judging her, and this is what's going to represent me fully, I think she would have some different matters on different words on the matter. I think she was, you know, right there with some of the thoughts. I don't think, again, what she was saying was outwardly hateful or stupid. It just came across as like, you say one thing publicly and you do some other shit behind closed doors. And it all comes down to, you know, you think that you deserve this, you think that she doesn't. You think that she was a race hire and she doesn't deserve it. That's at least what's implied by your words. But the minute that she tried to make it like, and I know what that's like because I'm a woman, like, well, now it's gonna get all muddled up. Now it's not gonna go well for you. If it was something, I don't know what could have been said there that would really have been better. Like, if you're honest about the matter. If she was just like, it sucks that I'm going to lose my job here, I feel like people would sympathize with that more. But I think the tone it came off and some of the ways that she tried to be like, I went through it as well as a woman, like true or not, it's kind of apples to oranges here. And the fact that I guess the only person really like chastised or punished even catching any backlash for it was the person who leaked the video, who is like a cameraman, a camera woman, or some sort of production assistant, something like that, who's also black. So there's been no backlash towards any white people in the matter. And the only person being chastised was this black person on set. So that doesn't bode well either. Now, what's an interesting wrinkle in the whole thing, aside from the actual issue at hand, is the way it was managed in reporting it. With everybody's favorite Julie DeCaro. Julie DeCaro is, I think, a Chicago or was at least a Chicago radio host, and is one of the most phony, like fake, progressive, woke assholes out there. She hates us. She wrote a whole book about Barstool. She's been, you know, there condemning us every step of the way for every joke we've ever made while, you know, running her own holier than thou sanctimonious bullshit shtick for like 10 years now. So her and Deadspin got access to this video, this recording last year, and blogged it and said there was like nothing of note in the recordings, and that whoever this creep was who set up Rachel Nichols and recorded her and want us to expose her, like, should be ashamed of themselves. Now Julie is backtracking. Now Julie, apparently she deleted like 80,000 tweets. I saw a tweet from someone that like ran an audit on her Twitter account that she's deleting tweets now. And she's saying that that Deadspin's work like holds up because they didn't have the full recording. I don't know. Who knows what's true, what's not. It certainly seems like Deadspin, the you know, progressive, racial equality, woke, you know, we're better than you website, had access to this. There were comments being made. about whether or not Maria Taylor deserves to be there or who, or what, you know, who deserves what job based on racial equality, and didn't do shit about it. It's just funny to see, you know, again, people blowing. I think you can look at this objectively and understand that there are some issues here that need to be addressed for sure, but also not like making this the end of the world. Cause like I said, I ultimately, at the end of the day, I do believe her thoughts are relatable ones of like, I just don't want it to come at my expense. But that, while honest, is, you know, fake half-ass bullshit where it's like, you can't be doing the Black Lives Matter protests and speeches and all that. And then when it comes down to it, if you're the one who unfortunately has to sacrifice or is on the chopping block or whatever it may be, now you're not cool with it. It's like, but that's where, it, you know, that's where I think being upfront about like who you are when you are in the public or in the media or out there in the world is important. Like, and I don't think Rachel Nichols has been overly like Black Lives Matter or anything like over the top, but she works in basketball. She works in an industry with a lot of Black people, with a lot of Black fans. And so like, it's going to be scrutinized and looked at differently. But I think if you are outwardly like, you know, beating the drum and leading the charge, and then when it comes time to, you know, walk the walk, it's, you know, people are not going to be happy. And she, you know, she apologized for it. And she said she's disappointed with Maria. And I, what was also telling was when this all came up, there was a lot of support for Maria Taylor. Jalen Rose was speaking, you know, saying she deserves a raise, and Taylor Rooks was tweeting about her, and a lot of outward support for her. And then also Woj jumped in, and rather than just supporting Maria, was putting down Rachel Nichols, being like, yeah, she's not a team player, which is, you know, like, that's an interesting move. Not necessary, you know, but he felt the need to speak up and be like, oh, and by the way, Woj bomb on you motherfuckers. I don't know who she thinks she is, but, you know, she's tough to work with. That's a telling statement as well. Kind of shitty. It's like kicking someone while they're down. Like, there's blood in the water. Let me strike. But also, you know, people don't just say those things for fun. But of course, by the way, it's like, you know, we're talking about Hollywood. We're talking about show business. We're talking about a woman who, you know, is probably making tons of money, and other people who are, we're talking about jobs on the line that are probably hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not six figures. And it's like, or seven figures, six zeros. I feel like, of course there's going to be drama between each other. Telling me that like women in a highly competitive on-camera field are not getting along or are being phony to each other's faces and stab each other back. No fucking kidding, man. I mean, I know Rachel Nichols has always kind of been like this bubbly character and hasn't really been involved in any drama or anything, but like, yeah, of course that's the fucking case. That's the industry. And, you know, Maria Taylor is playing it perfectly. And right now is like the darling. And but I'm sure she has her moments where she's hyper-competitive too. And if something came along where she lost her job for what she deemed to be something outside of like her merit or her skills, she'd be pissed off too. That is human nature. That's my only takeaway. That's the only thing I can speak to certainty on the issue is that I think it is very relatable and very understandable. And most of us would do the same thing if they lost their job. So again, I'm not necessarily proud of that. I wish I was the type to be like, yeah, I'll just take my job and I'm happy about it because that means the world's going to be a better place. Because to me, my world won't be a better place if I don't have my fucking paycheck anymore. And I don't get, you know, and I don't have the job that I worked for. Everything else is obviously a lot more of a, you know, serious and intricate issue with the entire industry and what goes on between those people and the dynamic between everyone at ESPN and their track record with diversity and all that shit. But you know, when you get the real taste of someone behind closed doors and some of their comments about like, well, that happened to me too. It's a little like, as Coley said it to me, he said, that feels a little all lives matter-y when, you know, you're like, me too. Also, I felt that as a woman. It's like, that's not what we're talking about right now. That's not the issue at hand. So like, yes, I'm sure you did, but not right now. So, you know, an interesting wrinkle with Julie DeCaro and Deadspin not choosing to not only just do nothing with that video, but openly say, we didn't hear, you know, there's nothing of note here. It's like, well, then, you know, again, I don't think it was anything super hateful, but it's like, there are some issues to discuss here. For anybody who listened to that and were just like, wasn't like, oh, wait a minute, you know, hang on. Rachel Nichols is implying this was a diversity hire. She's upset that, you know, it's coming at her expense, and there's stuff to talk about. So Deadspin, you know, check your fucking, your holier than thou image at the door. If that was your first reaction to that video. So that's an interesting wrinkle. And then Woj is crazy to me. Like, you're going to see Rachel Nichols around Bristol, and it's going to be frosty cold. Rachel Nichols is not fucking, you know, retweeting Woj bomb anytime soon. That was just a like, hang on, let me get in. Let me throw a fucking shot in there. That was akin to Vibs on Barstool versus America. One of the more wild moves we've seen at Barstool. Vibs had the choice to either not screw somebody over or screw somebody over. And just for the fucking shit of it, he just chose to fuck Dana out of $10,000. Some men just want to watch the world burn. That was Woj just being like, by the way, that Woj was like the fat guy from Mean Girls. You don't even go here. She doesn't even go here. Just screaming about Rachel Nichols to anybody who will listen. As soon as there was like a chink in the armor, as soon as it was like she's about to topple, Woj was like, let me just come over the top and knock that thing down. Just some men just want to watch the world burn, man. It will be interesting to see how far this goes, because like, you know, it does feel like, all right, you lost your finals gig. Maria Taylor is going to slide in there and do just as good of a job. They're both fully capable of doing it. And so now what does ESPN do? Next finals, does Rachel get her job back? Does that mean that, you know, you're taking Maria Taylor, who is capable and is a person of color, and now we fill that role? Now you're going to take that away from her and give it back to Rachel Nichols? That's not going to look good. And Rachel Nichols is going to be like, this is what I was fucking talking about. But in this case, she kind of brought it upon herself with these comments. So, I mean, it's, you know, and then you just have the Hollywood effect where it's like, listen, Rachel, fair or unfair, now there's a perception about you. And now, you know, we gotta, you know, I don't know, people worry about their Q rating or whatever. Are you likable? Do people want to see you on camera? You know, you work for a sport primarily that is majority fans are people of color. I mean, it's like, it could get dicey. And there is certainly some element of that that will be unfair if it is like, you know, if there is any situation where a person doesn't have the same skills or it is all because of a private recording, like an unknowing recording. Like, there are some elements that's like, man, that's I can understand where Rachel is coming from. But also, you know, can't be saying that these days. And that's where, you know, on top of it all, I think you just can't be phony about it. So what you say behind closed doors and what you say publicly have to, you know, jive up. They have to like kind of match. So it's like, don't be that openly, you know, heroic person. If behind closed doors, you're more like, I'm just worried about me and mine. Like I'm, you know, I want everything to be good for everybody. But my primary thing here, I got to pay my bills and I got to worry about like my family. And that's like, so that's, as long as, you know, your public and private persona, that's why it's just so much better to be this, the just who you are within reason. You're, you know, you're on camera and off camera has to be a similar type person. Sure, we can, you know, embellish or exaggerate or say things for a dramatic comedic effect. We're trying to make you laugh. But like, if who you are as a person with the serious issues is wildly different, whether you're on camera or off, like that's where you're going to run into those issues. I remember Bert Kreischer talking on Two Bears about Aziz Ansari. And when he like kind of caught some Me Too heat, and it wasn't really anything, it was not anything like violent or assault, but it was like, you know, he was getting his dick sucked and doing some kinky shit, I believe. And Bert was saying like, yeah, like he was presenting himself as woke bae. He was, I'm woke and progressive. And then behind closed doors, he's just like a regular dude who just wants to get his rocks off. And not that there's anything wrong with wanting to get your rocks off, but when you purport yourself as something totally different, when these stories come out, it makes people go like, ah, well, all right, fuck off. You were, you know, as phony as can be. Whereas like, it's just better to be the guy who was like, yeah, you know, I crack jokes. I'm a comedian and I like to hook up with chicks. I want to get, you know, I'd love a blowjob. Cause then when it happens and you get outed for it, nobody is like, everyone's kind of like, yeah, checks. That is the most important thing, I think, in Hollywood, in media, in fame, in public persona, is whether or not your actions match up with your public perception. It's the Dennis Rodman effect. It's the A-Rod versus Dennis Rodman. I always use those two examples. Dennis Rodman could fucking kill somebody tomorrow and people would be like, that's the worm. He's crazy. Whereas A-Rod like lost everything he had at one point because he was cheating at baseball, because he played this squeaky clean, I want you to love me, I wear my suits and I say the right thing at all times, all that shit. And then it turned out like, yeah, man, you're just a grimy dude who's like shaking people down and trying to get fucking steroids and trying to be, you know, this like, you know, I'm just going to cheat the game, make my money and fuck off. When you act, as long as your track record is consistent, people will be like, all right, that's the party guy. And so if he's partying too hard, that's what he does. All right. That's the like flat out selfish asshole. That's, you know, if you're going to be a Manny being Manny, he can be an idiot. He can say what, you know, all these dumb things. Charles Barkley can be, you know, just looking out for himself and just saying what he believes and fuck everybody else. As long as that stays consistent, everybody's like, all right, that's who that person is. I say that with Dave all the time. Dave, sometimes you might think he's an asshole, but he's never different to anyone behind closed doors. He's always kind of that way. So as long as your track record is jiving with what everyone believes about you, then they just keep it moving. It's when people cross over. It's when people are like, oh, we thought you were a nice guy. Turns out you're an asshole. Oh, you pretended to be an ally. Turns out, you know, you just want to make sure you have your job. That's when, I think that's what happened with me too, is like, I was trying to, when my marriage fell apart, it was like, I do at times, I love my kids. I had this family life that at times are great. Also behind closed doors, things weren't so great, but it appeared to be that way. And then when you found out that it wasn't, it was like, wait a minute, this, you know, we thought one thing when something else was going on. That's why people lose their minds over it. So it's important, I think, no matter, even if it's negative, as long as you stay consistent, people won't lose their minds. It's when you shock them with your behavior that it's like, oh my God, everybody loves to see, you know, the clean guy get dirty, or the, you know, the guy on top fall to the bottom, or whatever it may be. So, you know, whether it's a comic or a stand-up comic or a host or whatever it may be. And I mean, Trevor Bauer is going through it right now. I'm not going to speak too much on Trevor Bauer because I'm already getting in some sort of situation. I did a 1 Minute Man video about Trevor Bauer where I was explaining everything that was said in The Athletic and all the other articles. And then, you know, the LA Times and CNN, a bunch of outlets all reported on it. So I did a 1 Minute Man. And the 1 Minute Man was primarily explaining everything that went on with the text messages and what some of the accusations were. And I said alleged and accused and accusations like 50,000 times. But nonetheless, you know, hear from Trevor Bauer's camp being like, you know, you didn't say allegedly here. They went like second by second through the video. Here you should have said alleged. Here you should have said supposedly. Here, you know, this was never actually said directly. Like I was, you know, paraphrasing or be like, you know, the vibe of this, or here's what I think, you know, things that are like, I'm telling you the story, also editorializing a little bit. Here's my opinion. And the legal team came out like, you know, gangbusters. So I'm like, I'm not a journalist. I don't know how to fucking do this. So those videos I did take down because I was like, I don't want any of the smoke, man. I don't want to make our legal team work. I feel like everything that I did was either backed up or reasonably understandable. I was just giving like the facts or what at least the general like vibe of the video is. But when you do things like that, I understand you have to have like every single piece of it has to be, you know, correctly done. I'm like, I'm not fucking Barbara Walters here. I don't know, whoever does those news things. So I'm like, all right, take it down. But the Trevor Bauer situation, the reason why I made that 1 Minute Man is I, you know, I don't know if it was because the Athletic put it up. The initial article was behind a paywall and maybe some people didn't see that article, or if yeah, I don't know, 4th of July, people didn't pay attention, or West Coast. I don't know what it is, but this is a major athlete with some seriously dark accusations being made. This is not to like say that, you know, one form of assault is worse than the other, but like, this wasn't just like your old, like, we hooked up and afterwards I had some regret. Like, there is some behavior and some actions that were, that she's accusing him of, that like, if true, are some fucking weird behavior. I'll leave it at that. And we got to just let, let it play out before I feel, I'm not speaking on this until there's anything like concrete one direction or the other. And by the way, I will, like, I'll do a video if he's proven innocent. I'll do a video if he's proven guilty, whatever it is. I don't have a dog in the fight. But at least what is being accused is like, you know, I don't think people quite understand that what she was saying is that she was passed out and he initiated anal sex, that after choking her out, which she wanted, but then she was unconscious and she woke up and he had penetrated her anally. That's crazy. If again, all just an accusation, all just alleged, allegedly, like, when she was passed out, he was punching her butt. That's a weird move. All just alleged. No proof of anything yet. A lot of text messages that seem like sometimes she enjoyed it. Not even going to go down the line, but, it's about as serious of accusations as you can levy against somebody. And I don't think the sports world has like kind of really caught on to it as much as ordinary. I'm trying to think of why. I don't know if there's just like so much shit going on in the world. It's almost like the UFO effect, where we talk about how people just don't care about the UFO news anymore because it's just like, the world's burning. We don't give a fuck. But in this case, it's just bizarre that when the world has been super touchy, in some cases, rightfully so, and in other cases, like, kind of going overboard with the reaction to certain things. But, you know, certainly the world has been hyper focused on any sort of accusations like that over the last few years. And then this comes to light and it's like one of the more serious we've ever seen, and not a peep really. And again, that was where Coley's reaction was saying that people were just crushing Bauer. And mine is exclusively people saying she's lying. He's going to be innocent. She's just in it for the money. Have you seen the text messages? She clearly liked it. So I found it interesting because my first reaction was like, everybody always says, oh, an accusation is all it takes and it sticks with you for life and it ruins you. I feel like my social media experience, I've seen the pendulum swing back the entire opposite direction, where now when you come out, you get slut shamed, you're immediately crushed as a liar and a gold digger. The person being accused gets the benefit of the doubt almost immediately now from, again, the people who seem to pop up in my social media world. I saw way more support for Trevor Bauer. People immediately just being like, she's lying. And in some instances, like, there is no lie. I don't want to get myself in trouble. And I don't know what I can and can't say. I'm not a lawyer, but it's like I don't even think that lying is the situation here. It's all about the consent. So people who are just immediately saying like, this is a lie, that's not even possible right now. So I think the idea that an accusation, you know, you lose all support, I just don't believe is true anymore. I think in a lot of instances, it rallies the other side, the people who don't like cancel culture, the people who think that everything is PC culture. It's like, sometimes there's just a crime committed, or sometimes there's just something offensive or wrong that happens. And it doesn't have to fall under the umbrella of like an unfair, judge, jury, executioner situation. But that seems to be the reaction I've seen, where you get as much support as you do hate right away, because everything is just so polarized now and everything becomes an argument and a debate and a discussion. That's all thanks to social media, man. Everything is an argument because that's what happens on social media. You put your opinion out there and someone disagrees with it. And rather than just being like, I respect your viewpoint and I, you know, I'm going to choose to disagree and go on about my day, it's fucking get the Twitter fingers out. You start arguing, you start fighting, you're fighting with trolls, you're going back and forth, you're quote tweeting all day long, replying to people, because I don't know, maybe it's human nature to argue, human nature to want to be right, human nature to not want to be wrong. but you start to make everything black and white, everything A or B, one or two. You have to decide, pick a, draw a line in the sand, pick a side. And so there can't just be a like, boy, you know, I would say this looks seriously dark. We need to, you know, flesh out some of the details more and see, you know, what the intent here is and what the facts are. And then we'll, you know, we'll figure it out. But right now, you know, if things are, if these are true, it's bad. And if they're not, then she deserves to be. And there's none of that. There's no take like that. It seems to be everyone is on one side or the other. This is a sick place to live in. Even the I can't believe there's much discussion or dissension about the NCAA ruling. The number of people who seemingly are against kids getting money in college it's crazy to me. There's only one reason why you would feel that way. And it's that you're just a bitter, jealous hater. I said it on my 1 minute, man, that like you've got a problem with these kids cashing in on their otherworldly talent. It's the only reason can be that you're jealous, that you're, you know, working two jobs and trying to make ends meet and you're in debt and working hard. And then, you know, a 19-year-old kid comes along and because he can run fast and jump high and play sports well, they're going to make way more money than you. That's the only thing I could think is just to be like, I don't like it because you're getting some and I'm not. Because what else? What is the rational argument on the other side of it? There is none. Because either you're talking about kids who can't make a lot of money. The vast majority of athletes are going to play sports that aren't mega, mega popular and aren't going to be getting endorsements and major deals, you know? So it's like, what do you care about those kids? They get to go home now and like, you know, they can slap their face on like a local restaurant or car dealership and make some money for their family. You really that bent out of shape about that? No. And if you are, then you're truly just an asshole. What you're bent out of shape about is the kids who are going to potentially make hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions. The people who were like the Zions at Duke or the Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M. If Johnny Manziel could have used his name, image, and likeness legally, because we all know he did anyway, and probably made a nice fat bag as is, but would have made 100 times more. That's who you're mad about. And in that case, it's like, what don't you get? You're a sports fan. You know that people who are extremely athletic and extremely talented get all the glory and all the money in this country because that's what we glorify. That's what we love. That's who we turn into fucking, you know, we canonize them right off the bat. We turn them into celebrities immediately. We put fucking teenagers on Sports Illustrated covers. We draft them out of high school if we can. We give them millions of dollars instantly. It's like when LeBron went to the NBA, did you have a problem with that? No, because he was a pro athlete. But for some reason in college, you think that that doesn't work. You think that a scholarship is enough. Well, they get the best money education can buy, the best education money can buy. Get the fuck out of here. When you're an athlete, if you are worth, let's say $250,000 to go to college, right? If that's what you're worth, then fine. You get your scholarship and you get nothing more. And that's for, like I said, the vast majority of athletes. So it's like, we're just here to play and compete in college and maybe win a title in a not so popular sport. And you're going to pay me in the form of my tuition. Great. But you know what? If I can go get an endorsement outside of this, if I can get some cash on the side here and there from some business, that's the market dictating that. There's a local business who says, you know what? You're getting your free tuition, but also we can make some money off this. So yes, let's do that. And it just keeps continuing to rise until you get to the like all pro, all world athletes who are going to go on to the pros and right now are bringing in millions. So it's just like supply and demand. There's a scarcity on athletes of this caliber who are that recognizable and can drive sales and promote businesses and all that shit. It's just like, it's just funny to me that I feel like the same people who would say, you know, well, they're getting a free college tuition and that should be enough are probably the same motherfuckers who are singing the national anthem in fucking Walmart. And there's nothing to me that's more un-American than being like, here are people who are working, whether or not you consider it work. It's like they're providing a service by, you know, playing and working out and like dedicating their time to this sport. And it brings in money. And you're just saying they don't deserve to get any of that money. That's fucking nuts. I mean, that is the biggest asshole take in the fucking world. And, you know, I can't help but think you don't like that it's just going to be a young kid who might end up being flashy with that money. The people are like, well, they're going to have to pay taxes now. They're going to have to be, you know, they're going to have to like be responsible with their money. No, they're not. They can do whatever the fuck they want with their money. Right now, the U just gave every player $6,000, either $5,000 or $6,000. I can't remember. They committed $540,000 to like everyone on the team or some shit like that. It comes out to $5,000 or $6,000 a man. If those guys, I hope that the seventh floor crew comes back, pools together their $5,000 and throws a banger of a party. Because who fucking cares what they do with their money? It's theirs. It's their name, image, and likeness that they should be able to profit off of. And when they do profit off it, they should be able to spend their money however the fuck they want. Pay your taxes, do everything above board, obviously all that. If I was a college athlete, I would make sure I dot my T's, dot my I's, cross my T's, make sure I do everything to the letter of the law, sure. But then if I want to buy a fucking gold chain, if I want to party, if I want to be lavish, I want to buy a car, what the fuck ever, man. It's your money now. You're basically just an adult. And that's where, you know, I can understand the argument that you don't like how it's going to change the dynamic of football and basketball and college sports. That's a fine argument. Like right now, it's just going to be like boosters become your whether you're big market or small market. You know, it's like these SEC schools, these Texas football schools are going to have boosters that are going to be like, here, take all of our money and give it to, you know, the new five-star recruit as his salary. That's for sure going to suck because there's going to be some boosters and some schools. And I don't know, maybe that's not how it works. Maybe boosters can't come from them. Maybe there's going to be certain rules that prevent that. I don't know. But money always finds a way to get into the hands of the people who deserve it. We saw it, like I said, with guys like Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush, you know, I loved his tweets. Like he said, like, well, what do we have here? Like, you know, what'd he get? Like $300,000 at the time. It was like, oh my God, take his Heisman away, vacate his wins. He's trash. It's like $300,000. He should have got like $30 million for the way he was playing at USC. And the Fab Five back with Michigan, you know, I mean, Chris Webber took a pennies compared to what those guys should have been making. And now like it's going to be, the amount of money that can be made now should be made. And those are the guys that deserve, you know, way more than they got. And the next guys coming in should get every penny they're fucking worth. But as I was saying, like if that now turns into, you know, well, A&M has the most money to go around. So I'm going to go there because they're basically they can pay me the biggest salary, if you will. Yeah, that can suck. That can then shift the dynamic of the game where it's like we used to be good at recruiting, but now that it's just a money game, you know, this affluent town over here with this booster or whatever, they're going to get all the recruits. Yeah, all that shit's going to happen, no doubt. And maybe it's because I'm not a huge college sports fan. I don't have an alma mater. I don't gamble. I don't watch college basketball like I used to. I never really watched college football. To me, if the landscape of the game shifts, I'm like, whatever. It's not the end of the world for me. If you're a diehard fan the way it is and you like the pageantry of college sports and you like the fact that there's some amateurism and you like the bands playing and the kids being there and the fact that it's not professional, then yeah, I mean, that's going to suck for you. But the larger issue here is not about like the college sports experience for you at home. It's about what these fucking people deserve for the money, for the time and effort and the sacrifice. And like, especially in football where you're risking your body and risking injury and you got families who are coming from nothing, who have to just wait it out until they hopefully maybe can go pro like that. All of that shit supersedes your desire to have like the amateur college football ways, you know, preserved. I don't give a fuck, man. These people deserve, if you provide a service that makes money, you should get some of that money. That's the fucking American way. Everyone can use their name, image, and likeness to make money, except for the ultra talented college kids, because, you know, we just say you got to wait a few more years. Fuck that, man. It's either got to be, you know, there can be no restrictions on when you can turn pro, or you got to pay them, because it's like, you know, you can't stop people from making money when they have a widely a super rare talent. You know, it's like, I can use this talent to make money. Well, no, because one, you can't go into this professional league yet. And two, the league that you are allowed to play in, we just say you can't make money. Fuck that noise. So, I mean, the argument of, there's no argument about right or wrong in my mind. Again, unless you're just an asshole, unless you're just a petty, I don't like kids making more money than me asshole, unless you're a racist asshole, unless you are a prejudiced asshole. And the argument of like, well, I don't want it to change what I like about college sports. Well, we don't give a fuck. They don't give a fuck. And I think if you think that your opinion on that matters, like you're an asshole. And sure, like maybe you end up right. Maybe ratings aren't the same, or the product isn't as entertaining because it just becomes like a second professional league. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to shake out, but doesn't matter because it's like unconstitutional to not pay people as the Supreme Court ruled. So it's like, yeah, I don't know if you don't like it, but we don't give a fuck because this is what's like right and fair and just. So recognize it and accept it. Also, and I want to wrap up here, recognize and accept the fact that if you are not a boxer and have not trained to fight in any way, shape, or form, do not upload a video of you boxing. Do not upload a video of you training, hitting the pads or hitting the bag. You will get roasted. You will get flamed. Tyler Herro is the latest. I mean, his boxing, he looked like the fighting Irish leprechaun, like an old timey boxer, like, man, see, you stick him up, copper, I'm going to fight you in the squared circle. Jim Braddock, I'm the Cinderella man. He had these swinging uppercuts that looked like he was a black and white old timey boxer, like in the Great Depression. He looked like a cartoon boxer with an uppercut that was like the slowest moves you ever seen. His arms were, I mean, yeah, I guess it's going to be a little weird when like a, you know, probably like a 6'7" lanky dude is boxing. But man, to be like, yeah, let's film this and then post it on the internet. Jeez. It really makes you understand the difference between boxers and non-boxers. And even it does make you give like a little bit more respect to guys like Jake Paul and Logan Paul. Like even like when you watch those guys, Jake, we know, can actually throw hands. Even Logan, like he looks like he knows what he's doing now. Like hands up, head tucked in, shoulder, like tight punches, not these big, like swinging, like fucking gorilla arms, like flying all over. If you don't know how to punch and don't know how to train and don't know how to fight, just don't post the evidence of it, man. Everybody does it. And it's like, look at me hitting the pads. Like, yeah, you look like a fucking asshole, dude. You look ridiculous. Just stay in your lane, man. That's why, I mean, the only thing I do, I talk to a fucking TV, talk to a camera. I mean, talk to a computer in front of a microphone. That's it. Some people, you probably don't even know if I have feet. You don't even know if I have legs. I might be cut off at the waist for all you know. I just stay in my little box. And I used to do videos with Barstool back in the day when there was no one else to do them. I had to do them. We're doing athletic shit. We're running around. We're being active. You see us move? Nope. Done. I have retired, man. So the pictures on my Instagram, me with all the, you can see the scar here. I got the fusion in my neck. I got fusion in my lower back. I've got metal and hardware all in my body. I'm not doing shit. If you're over the age of like 30 and you are still active and crazy enough to think that like, let me post a video of this, like at least Tyler Herro is a fucking pro athlete. At least some of the guys I'm talking about are physical specimens, but it's like, that doesn't mean you can be good at sports. It doesn't mean you're good at boxing, you know, but the rest of the normal people out there who still think you got it, you don't. And it doesn't look like you do. You definitely don't in the moment, like at your Zog Sports, you know, kickball game, you look ridiculous. When you post it on the internet, you look ridiculous. And when you end up inevitably Tom Segura-ing yourself, like blowing on a knee or breaking a bone or separating a shoulder or something that always happens to guys above 30 playing sports, you'll look ridiculous. Shout out Glennie Balls. Glennie Balls played softball for the first time in a while. Golden sombrero in slow pitch softball. The golden sombrero. Struck out 4 times. Slow pitch softball. You know what, Glennie? Maybe time to not play softball anymore. Maybe time to hang him up. Maybe it's just time to say, nah, I'm good. The same way that Tyler Herro should just be like, yeah, I'm not going to post that boxing video. Might be a good idea. just a quick lesson to everybody out there. Less is more, you know. Don't post absolutely everything on the internet. I post almost everything on the internet. I will whore myself out trying to make as much money and get as many views and all that shit as possible. But there's some things I'm not posting it because I know I'm going to get absolutely fucking flamed. And number one on the internet is number one A is like posting any sort of sports shit when you're older and don't got it anymore. But the top dog, don't post yourself boxing unless you're a fucking boxer. I'll leave you on that note. A little bounce back episode. Also, after last week's episode, which was so bad, I said to myself, you know, the whole reason I started the Kevin Clancy show was I wanted to do a solo show, just kind of keep my skills sharp and keep talking to a mic, get my reps in, my Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours of me just like hosting a solo show. And half of it was always intended to be like a sit down interview type of show. KFC Radio, we have a blast, you know, talk for 20, 30 minutes. We goof off. We do answer the internet. We fuck around. But I always, like, there's so many interesting people out there that I wanted to have like true sit down conversations, you know, whether it's a Marc Maron style or a Joe Rogan style, or we just shoot the shit for like an hour. And I wanted it to be like other podcasters and other comedians and entertainers, and not necessarily just the people who are coming through doing their promotional work for their new book or their new show. And they're going to give you 20 minutes and they're going to say the same thing that they said on the last podcast. And they're going to say the same thing to the next podcast after yours. So I was like, I want this show to be like all the other podcasts that you listen to, all the West Coast comics who have all their podcasts and everybody does each other's show. And they do it for real. And they're not doing it just to like whore out their new products. They just want to talk and grow their brand and have good conversation. So I wanted that to be this. So I started it during pandemic and I was like, let me do some interviews over Zoom. Let me bide my time until we can do them in person. And then, you know, we'll really get cooking. And so I'm trying to book more guests for this type of format. So I went on a little spree booking a bunch of different comics for like July and August. But if there are people out there that you think would be a good fit that are attainable for this show, let me know, because I feel like one of the things I've shown that I can do is like the good long form sit down conversations. And it's just something, you know, I gotta get the people in to do it. So I want to know who you think are good candidates for that and who you think you'd like to see sit down with me. So get at me, let me know the people within reason that you'd like to see on the show, and we'll try to book it here to get back to, now that pandemic's over, we can get back to what this show was truly supposed to be. So let me know. Also, Answer the Internet is back. Shane Gillis, Dan Soder, episode one of season four just dropped this week. It is so goddamn funny. Dan Soder is the king of ATI, and Shane Gillis might be the most naturally funny dude out there right now. He's like not even trying. He's just talking, and it's fucking hilarious. Soder is just so quick with his answers. He's always got, it's almost like I gave him the questions ahead of time. It's like he's studied these, and he's like always got an answer on deck. Episode one is so fucking funny. It's like 15 minutes of them just back and forth. Absolutely hysterical. Week two, we've got Spittin' Chiclets. The third episode, we got Ari Shaffir. Fourth is Carly Aquilino. We're going to start to cycle in all of these guests. So if you think that they'd be a good guest on the Kevin Clancy show and you want to see them on Answer the Internet, tweet at me, DM me, get at me in any way. Let me know who you think's attainable. Also, reach out to those people. Tag your favorite comic, tag your favorite person, DM them, say you want to see them on my show. It goes a long way towards getting people in. So let me know. And make sure you subscribe to KFC Radio on YouTube. Subscribe to Answer the Internet. You can both go by the game. You can go by the app. And also next week, is it next week? Yeah, it's next week now. Next Thursday is the return of KFC Radio Live. So if you are in the New York area, you can come see us at Levity Comedy Club in Rockland. It's about like 35, 40 minutes from the city. So if you want to, if you live in Manhattan, you want to pop in a car and head on up for the night, it'll be worth your time. I promise you that. Or if you live outside the city, you're in Rockland, you're over the bridge, whatever. We'd love to come see you. We'd love you to come see us. So we're back on stage trying to get things going with a little bit of a tour. So you can come catch us live, KFC Radio on stage. We'll keep you updated with the dates. So we'll see you guys next week. Stay safe, you mutts.